there'd been a lot of people, you got a lapel? There's been a lot of people lately that have been talking to me and had a great interest in Bible prophecy and what it says and how does it affect us today, and what does it all really mean? What does Bible prophecy really mean? What is it, you know, and how can we use it in today's life? Well, I dug up an old study that I had and redid it, and that's what we're going to have here probably for the next 6 or 8 weeks, because it got longer than I thought it was going to. And so anyway, but I hope that you enjoy it. And so we're going to be doing that for the next few weeks. But before we start, we need to look into Bible prophecy. We need to understand what exactly we're looking at. You know, it's one thing to read something in the Bible, but yet it's something else to understand what you read. You know, there's a lot of things that are written in the Bible that, believe it or not, aren't for us. They were written for the Jews, they were written for other countries, they're written for other things. And we need to understand what prophecy was given to the church, what prophecy was given to the Jews, what prophecy was given to Noah, what prophecy was given to others, you know, in that. And so we need to understand first what prophecy really is. And the definition of prophecy is this: a foretelling prediction, a declaration of something to come, as God only knows future events with certainty, but God or some person informed by him. By utter or real prophecy, prophecies recorded in Scripture, when fulfilled, afford most convincing evidence of the divine origin of the Scripture. As those who uttered the prophecy could not have foreknown the events predicted without supernatural instruction. 2 Peter 1:21 says this: for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, what that means is this, is that prophecy was given to certain men for the edification of things that were either going to happen, have happened, or were happening at that very time. And what we need to understand is that some of this prophecy is not fulfilled even yet, that we're going to be looking at down the pike. Now, here we see that true prophecy, though, is given by God to people. There is, however, prophecy which we need to be careful about. You know, there's an awful lot of people who are saying an awful lot of things that aren't true. And we need to be so careful that we listen intently to what's being said. Here a few weeks ago, I preached a message on proving what was being said. I told you not to what? Believe everything I said, didn't I? I said, don't believe everything I say, but prove it by God's word. I'll give you an example of it. This weekend we were at a teen conference, and there was a preacher there, and he was preaching. And he was preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. And he preached for 2 hours. And on the way home, Abed said to me, he says, Pastor, he said, did you agree with what he said? And he told me what it was. And I said, no, I didn't. He goes, you didn't? I said, no, did you? He goes, no. I said, why didn't you? He says, I'm not sure, but I didn't agree with what he said. I said, well, this is why. What happened was this. He quoted a verse, and this was the verse he quoted. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment with promise that your days may be long upon the earth. That was the scripture that he quoted, and he based 2 hours of preaching on that. I disagreed with him. And the reason I disagreed with him was this. He left out part of the verse. The verse says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment with promise that your days may be long upon the earth. He left out in the Lord. Wow. I said to Abed, I said, well, I said, he left out that part. He goes, yeah, he did. And I said, well, what was the difference about what he quoted and what it actually says? He says, well, in what he said and what he quoted, we're to take and obey our parents in everything, even if it's contrary to God's word. I said, but what does the verse say? That we're to obey our parents in the Lord. I said, exactly. And I said, you know, that's why we need to be so careful. We have to be so careful what we listen to. You know, we need to look at what people are saying and say, well, you know, is that really true? Is that right? Is what they're giving me the truth? If not, don't listen to them. You know, we need to look at some basic things about prophecy, though, which are going to help us to understand if it was meant for us or not. You know, there was prophecy given directly to the children of Israel, and others which were given to the church, and others were given to other nations and people. We need to look at who it was given to, why it was given to them, and how it was to be used for the building up of that of those that it was given to. Prophecy needs to be given taken literally, even though it may not be easy to understand. We need to realize that it is from God and needs to be taken as if He had spoken directly to us with it. We need to understand that. There's different types of prophecy. There's prophecy which is given and will happen soon. There's prophecy that was given that will happen in the near future, or would have happened in the near future, and there's prophecy that has not even been fulfilled yet, and it's going to be in the far future. And we need to understand that. You know, there's prophecy which has been fulfilled, is being fulfilled even right now as we speak. But biblical prophecy is always explained somewhere in the Bible, probably other than where it was written. And we need to understand that by studying to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, you will find where it was explained. Now, biblical prophecy and the promises of God many times run hand in hand with each other. If God said it, and what? If God said it, then it's settled. You know, many people say, well, if God said it and I believe it, it's settled, right? No, that isn't the way it is. If God said it, it's settled, period. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. It's settled. He said it and it's done, kaput. Amen? And we need to understand that. You know, so many people say, well, I don't know for sure if God said it. Is it in the Bible? If it is, He said it. You know, there are two divisions of prophecy. There are that which has been fulfilled, and there's that which has got to be fulfilled yet. You know, many look at that which is yet to be fulfilled. However, there isn't that much left to be fulfilled. There's a little bit, but not a whole lot from what there was in the beginning. Now, there's two different types of prophecy. And I want you to understand this. There are two different types of prophecy. One is a conditional, and the other one is unconditional. The conditional is, God says, if you do this or that, then this I will do. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Then there's the unconditional, where God says, this is what's going to happen. Period. It doesn't matter what you and I do, it's going to happen. Period. It doesn't matter if we believe it, doesn't matter if we do anything about it. If it is there, it's going to happen. Period. You know, what we need to realize is that there's two different types of prophecy, and we need to understand that. Prophecy of the Bible was given in different ways. You know, people say, well, what do you mean it was given in different ways? How did Moses receive the prophecy of God? Directly. Huh? Directly. Just like you and I talk to each other. Moses is one of the only people that ever lived that ever saw the backside of God and lived. Wow. Think about that. God thought so much of Moses that he passed before him. He's the only one ever. Why? Because God is so holy, the minute you would look at him, you would die. His holiness is so great, the very moment you would look at him, you would die. But Moses, he talked just like you and I do. And then there were some who had dreams, and God allowed others to interpret those dreams. I think of Daniel. Daniel was one that interpreted dreams. Jacob was another one who interpreted dreams. You know, some were given visions, which caused them to feel like they were in another sphere. You know, if you look at John, when John had his vision of the revelation, where was he? He was in prison on the Isle of Patmos. What happened? God actually took him to heaven in a vision. Man, think about that. Wouldn't that be cool to have God take us to heaven? Show us what it's all about. Show us who's there, who isn't there. You know, what we need to realize is that there's many that received them in visions. Now, I do not believe that there's any new revelation given today. I do not believe that there are any prophecy, future prophecy, given other than what's in this book. I believe all prophecy has been ceased, and I'm going to show you why in just a second. I think we need to look at when prophecy and how it came through the many years was used by God to show man that he was God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 10, it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What is that which is perfect? Amen. Right here. Right here is all the prophecy we need, folks. Right here. You know, if you take a look at that verse, everything that verse is talking about, believe it or not, has already been done. Charity will never fail. Love will never fail. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. They'll quit. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be put away. Somebody says, well, what about knowledge? What do you mean, knowledge is that vanish away? Let me ask you something. How much more knowledge do you need than God's Word? Who has more knowledge, us or the disciples who penned out the Word of God? Think of the knowledge that Paul had. Think of the knowledge that Peter had. Think of the knowledge that John had. Think of Matthew, Mark, Luke. Think of the knowledge that they had. How did they have so much knowledge? They walked with God in the flesh. 3 years, the disciples walked with Jesus. They had all the knowledge that they could possibly hold in their brain. Knowledge ceased the very moment it was all penned down. Knowledge ceased. Tongue ceased. Wow. You mean to tell me we don't have speaking in tongues today? Amen! You know, what we need to realize is when God's Word came in, that which is perfect, all those things were going to cease. Prophecy ceased. We need to be so careful what we listen to, and we need to try the spirits. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, if somebody is preaching prophecy to you, you better be listening to what they're saying and find out if their spirit knits with your spirit or not. If it doesn't, don't listen to them. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone in out into the world. Listen, Satan is going to try to do everything that he possibly can to get us to believe a lie and then to trick us into believing what he wants us to believe. It's kind of like the politicians are doing today, amen? I hate to say it that way. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to get on my hobby horse tonight, but you want to be here Sunday morning. I guarantee that you will want to be here Sunday morning and listen to my message. Amen. It took me 3.5 days to write this message for Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, it's a whoopee-woo to you. It's a good one. You want to be here Sunday morning. That was my introduction. Now we can get into the message. But you know, prophecy, the first prophecy was given by God to man. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast in the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust of the shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now listen to me. That was an immediate prophecy. Immediate. The very moment that God said that, guess what? Satan was on his belly, eating dirt. Amen? That's where he was. It was an immediate prophecy. However, it was also a prophecy for the future. It was also a prophecy for the future. There was two things in there. Number one, it was for Satan to realize that he was going to be on his belly from then on, eating the dust of the earth. And the second thing was this, was that the prophecy was going to be fulfilled when Jesus came to the earth. And he died on the cross. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to their scripture. That was the last part of the prophecy. That's why we need to be careful. Careful what we listen to. You know, we need to look at what God told the people and what we call covenants. Covenants are just prophecies. You know, a covenant is a promise from God. He will do something. You know, this can be immediately, or it can come in the future. You know, there are covenants or prophecies given by God to man, and they should be treated just like that, that they're given by God. We need to look at some covenants just to see what it's all about. When Noah came out of the ark, God gave him what? What did God give Noah? A rainbow. Rainbow in the sky. What did the rainbow represent? Amen. Genesis 9:15, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature and of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. You know, this was an everlasting prophecy or covenant. God was never ever going to destroy the earth again by water. Ever. Wow, praise God. I hate swimming. No. God made 13 prophecies with Abraham or covenants. You know, Abraham was a man that walked with God. You know, most of us know the story of Abraham, don't we? After all, Abraham was in the land of the Chaldees. No, he was not in the land of the Chaldees. He was in Ur. Anyway, God came to him and he says, I want you to leave your homeland. I want you to leave your father and your family. And I want you to go to a land that I'll show you. Right? That's what he said. Abram said, okay, I'll go. He walks up to Sarah. He says, honey, pack your bags. She says, where are we going? He says, I don't know. Well, how long are we going to be gone? I don't know. When are we going to be back? I don't know. What are we going to do there? I don't know. Where are we going to live? I don't know. In a tent. We'll have a big camping trip. Amen? Lasted 80 years, but we'll have a big camping trip. He had no idea. But yet, you know what? She followed him. She did just what he asked her to do. Here we see that God prophesied to Abraham that he would make him a great nation. That his name would be great. You know, during that specific time period, Abraham's name was not great. I mean, Abram. You know, nobody knew who Abram was. You know, it's like, you know, most people have no idea who anybody is anymore. You know what I mean? That's the way it was back then. Then he went and he said that he was going to take and make him a great nation. It was 600 years after Abraham died that the children of Israel became a great nation. Abraham did not see this great nation as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the seashore. However, the prophecy did come true. Because when the children of Israel left Egypt, there was over 4 million of them that walked out of Egypt. Genesis 22:16-18 says, and said by myself, have I sworn unto the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, in that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying them, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Wow. You know, listen, when Abraham was told to take Isaac up to sacrifice him, he had no idea what God was going to do to him or for him. But look at God's promise. That's a prophecy. Let me ask you something. What did Abram ever see for his seed? Who can tell me? What did he see? He saw Ishmael's kids. He saw his other kids off his second wife. That's it. And Isaac. That's it. That's all. That's all he saw. Were those of the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore? No! They weren't. After all, Ishmael only had 12 kids. They weren't anywhere close to that. So it was prophecy in the future. That in him, the families of the earth would be blessed. You know, have you ever noticed that countries who stand up for Israel are always blessed? Have you ever noticed that? To him personally, to thee, and to his seed, should all of Palestine been given forever. That is still in the future. That isn't even done yet now. You say, well, what about the promised land when Moses or when Joshua went in the promised land? They didn't get it all. They did not get all the promised land that God had promised to Abram. Why? Because they got satisfied with what they had and they didn't want to fight anymore, so they got milquetoast, babied, and they didn't take all the land. Huh? Amen. That's right. So that's still in the future, and it's going to come. The multitude of his seed would be as the dust of the earth. You know, however blessed he blessed him, and whoever blessed him was going to be blessed, and whoever cursed him was going to be cursed. You know, if I look at the countries over in the Middle East, and I look at the countries that hate Israel, God hates them. And he curses them. But those who love Israel, boy, I'll tell you what, God has been blessing them, blessing them, blessing them, blessing them. Abraham would be the father of many nations. If you do not realize it, the United States was formed under the belief that Abraham was a friend of God. You know, kings would proceed out of him. You know, there's no king greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. Kings would proceed out of his loins. You know, there would be an everlasting covenant between him and God. The land of Canaan would be an everlasting possession. God will be a God to him and to his seed. There are many who take the prophecy of Abraham given by God to sacrifice his only begotten son to represent God giving his only begotten son to die for us on the tree. And you know what? I believe that too. What was the difference? What was the difference between Abraham and God? Isaac didn't die. Jesus did. Isaac didn't die on the altar. Jesus did. You know, if you take and you look at the parallelization between the two of them, you can see how Christ was going to die on the cross. Amen. God prophesied to Abraham that it would be the fourth generation who would be in the promised land. Genesis 15:16. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Whoa! What does that mean? What does it mean that the iniquity of the Amorites are not yet full? You know, look at what God tells him. He says, well, he says, they can't have the land yet because the Amorites aren't quite all sinners. There's still some righteous Amorites. You know, what generation are we in here in the United States, by the way? Since we had a godly generation. I believe we're in about the fourth generation, aren't we? We're coming up to the fourth generation real fast. It all started back in the 1940s, 1950s, early 50s. That's a long time. 70 years. That's a generation. Amen? You know, I'll tell you what, I got a lot out of that message on Sunday morning. From, you know, one thing that I didn't really think a lot about was the generation part in the Bible. 70 years. 70 years from 1948 to 2018 was 70 years. Israel was a nation. The United States said, okay, we'll say Jerusalem's the capital city. And there's been 12 other countries that have done the same thing. Guess what? Israel now has a capital, and it's once again a powerhouse city. You know, Abraham did not see the great nation as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the seashore. You know, today there's an estimated 500 million Jews around the world, some 8,000 years after this prophecy had been said. 500 million! I don't know, I can't count that many stars, amen? I can't count that many little grains of sand. That's a lot. This is why the prophecy given to Abraham was so important in the start to the completion of what God wanted to do. And all that was told was written down in the prophecies given over the next 4,000 years. Next week we'll be looking at a little something else on this. And I'll tell you what, it's going to get good. It really is. This is just the introduction tonight. We're going to get into the prophecies given to the church. We're going to get into the prophecies given to Israel. We're going to get into the prophecies of the end times. And I guarantee that you're going to want to be here every Wednesday night for the next few weeks. Well, next week is question and answer. And then we'll go from there. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for your love. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us. We go our various ways. Bring us back again to our appointed place next Sunday. And we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you're dismissed. If you need food, see William.